Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Retail Podcast. I am your host, Cale Guthrie Weissman. I'm here live. Well, it's not really live. This is recorded, but I'm in the Mandalay Bay conference room at Shop Talk Las Vegas. It's always fun when I get to talk to founders here and do a recording here because there you can sort of feel the buzz. Everyone's going from meeting to meeting. And I was able to wrangle Coulter Lewis, the founder and CEO of Sunday Lawn Care, into a room. We're going to chat. Coulter's a special guest because he's actually, and I rarely allow this to happen, but he's an alum where he's been on the show before. And usually I try to say you get one chance and then you can't go on again. But he joined before I was even hosting this show. My predecessor, Shireen, was hosting it. And you should listen to the episode because it was really interesting. That was 4.5 years ago, or no, 5 years ago, probably, or no, it was about 4 years ago exactly.
Yeah, right around 4 years ago. That makes sense.
And so I want to go into how the last 4 years have been because it was February 2020 and, a lot of things happened then. But anyway, Coulter, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on, Cale. I appreciate it.
First, for those who might not have listened to the first episode, because that was an early episode of the Modern Retail Podcast, why don't you just give a rundown of exactly the story behind Sunday?
Sure. Yeah, you know what's kind of exciting is it is the same story and same mission we set out to accomplish.
That's very rare.
Yeah. In Feb 2020, a couple of things happened just right after that. At that time, we were hearing about this virus that was starting, yeah. Right? So it was quite a ride since then, an amazing 4 years. But so what Sunday exists to do is help people take better care of their little piece of the earth. Now, that's a little bit abstract. I can get more specific on that. We sell products and complete kind of solution experience to help people care for their yard and their garden and everything outdoor home. And so this is a category people need lots of support and lots of help. It's really very complicated. It's kind of agriculture. And so we use satellite data, soil data, climate data, all these sort of things to do something kind of like ag tech for the backyard, to give people exactly what they need when they need it and make it really easy to take better care of your property in a way that's better for people, pets, and the planet.
So I'm going to do this comparison a lot just because I think it'll be interesting. How many products did you have when you were interviewed in 2020 and how many products do you have now?
We had probably 4 SKUs at that time.
Okay.
Yep.
And what do you got now?
65.
Okay. I imagine you know, one thing I find really fascinating about Sunday as a company is that you're generally considered a DTC company. That's how a lot of the business press, us included, wrote about you when you first launched.
Yes.
Now you're in a lot of stores. You're in Costco, you're in Walmart, Lowe's. Am I missing any?
Target,
that's a good one. But has expanding into those wholesale environments changed your product strategy down the line?
Not significantly. I think to talk about our product strategy, I need to go a little bit into this category and what makes it so unique. First of all, me getting into this was really around addressing the fact that our yards are the third largest crop in the U.S., right? It's 40 million acres of yards. And by I say yard, I mean lawn, garden, everything outside your home. And so it's 10 times more land than all the organic farms combined. Huge chunk of the country. But the challenge that people that are caring for it have other jobs. They really take on this complex task of caring for all of these living things and doing it in a way that meets their values is a lot to ask. So Sunday really, was launched just to address that challenge. And from a product strategy standpoint, the way we achieve that is both through physical products and a digital experience. So when we think about retail, that is more heavily focused on the physical products, but we've innovated there and launched an incredible portfolio of really unique products, unique ingredients, and things that are, aligned with our mission of not doing harm to the environment and actually being a net positive. So that's remained consistent, and that's our place in the market, and that's how we want to change this whole category.
So talk about that second part then, the customer experience, digital experience, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
How has that evolved? Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten much deeper, much more comprehensive. I can give an overview of kind of what it looks like and how a customer would experience it. So when you get to Sunday, to our website, getsunday.com, your first experience is entering your home address. It's kind of a wild thing to ask someone for as a first kind of touch point. And we first started Sunday, we thought no one's going to do this, but we'll just try, right? And it's actually been continue to be our first touch point for customers. And the reason we ask for that is that we analyze your home. So you pull aerial imagery of your home. We now have the largest soil database ever created from our customers. So I can talk about that later. And so we pull all of that data from your neighbors. And we learn about what your property specifically specifically needs and create a solution just for you. And so that solution is based around things like fertilizers and weed control and seeds, and all of that is timed and sized and selected specifically for you and your lawn.
That's so there. I was talking with a company a couple of weeks ago on the show, Jolie, that makes filter shower heads.
Oh, awesome.
And they do a very similar thing. And I'm very interested in this tactic where they have you give your address as well,
yep.
but then they give a water report. This is the water that you get. And so I like how have like, what, why do you think that works so well? Is it that it's personalized? Is there almost a fear? Like where like, this is what I know is wrong with my house and I need to fix this.
I think that, you know, we are the unique, space that we operate in, and kind of the best part of it, you know, is that we get to help people. If you take the average person and ask them, like, you know, tell me what you know about lawn care. Tell me what you know about, you know, all the trees in your property, all the things you keep alive. The response almost universally is like, I kill houseplants. Like, this is not my jam. You know, and the reality is it's actually really complex. And it's also not fixed. Like, every single weather event changes things. Like, every year is different and presents new challenges. And so people need help, and they know it. So that's really why Sunday's, you know, unique kind of fully supported approach really resonates here with the customers, is that, you know, a lot of our customers come in and we actually ask this question as part of the purchase process of like, how much have you done before? Is this something you know, you're accustomed to? And most people are like, no, I haven't. This is something that I, you know, was either too intimidated by or it was too toxic. I just kind of opted out. And so we're really kind of engaging the next generation of people to go outside and care for their property.
And has that, did you have that exact experience when you first launched, or how has it become more, I guess, technical, robust? You know, how has it changed?
Yeah. I mean, so when we talked in 2020, these were all ideas and really,
and not like a Shopify website,
not executed. I mean, I won't even get into the jankiness of the technology at that time. But, you know, since then we now have, I think 500,000-ish soil samples. So our customers get a soil test they send back to us, and we analyze the soil in their property to spot any deficiencies or any particular needs. And so through that, we've actually now had the largest soil database ever created. So we have these kind of new assets, data assets that enable us to be better predictors of what you need and when you need it. So we've gotten smarter and smarter. And I would say the other part is like, we're trying to offer a customer an end-to-end experience. And the reason why you don't see that on the internet is it's really hard to do. And so that means not just like, oh, we've customized something and sold it to you. We're now going to steward you through that entire process that whole year. And then next year, we're going to do it again. Every single step of the way, support every step of the way, guidance, timing, all of the information needed. So really what's changed the most, I would say, since 2020 is the depth of that experience and how much we're able to support people through the whole process.
And talk about the database. So is that you just have people sending you soil and do you just use that for product development? Do you have what is the ultimate purpose of that?
So it's for that particular customer, they're incentivized to do it because it helps us tailor their plan. So we look for things that they might need specifically in their soil, and then we adjust what they're getting based on that. So it is really real time in that regard. This, you know, one of the reasons why our tech stack is fully custom is that we have this really unique model where what you get and when you get it is dependent on you and you alone. So it adds a lot of complexity. But so there's a need for that individual customer to send their soil in to get better results. But at the same time, we then have this aggregate of data we can use to develop products, things like that. So you see that show up in retail. We have products that are specifically tailored to different regions. And that's based on the soil data we have in that region and what their deficiencies are. So we're able to make kind of really tailored, specific, targeted products.
You said you have a completely like home built, that's not the right word, but
yep.
Tech stack.
Yes.
Has that always been the case?
It has been always the case, yes. And every year, you know, we look to understand if there are options and what we can buy, not build. And really, we offer such a unique experience that there isn't, a single platform that supports it.
How big is your, you know, tech team? I imagine if you have your this big of a company and you're having to do that, keeping that all afloat is quite difficult.
It is, yeah. We have a really strong tech team. It is all done internally at Sunday. Great tech leader, and that is something that we've invested from, you know, in day one. And really, a lot of that solution that we're trying to create for our customers, end-to-end experience, it's all powered by technology. Like, we have to be strong there to offer that.
Got it. Talk a little about the wholesale side of things. This is something, you know, every quote-unquote digitally native brand, DTC brand, is now, for the most part, 99% are selling in some stores. Yep. it makes sense, a product like yours would sell in stores. But do you, you know, you mentioned how you use, for example, the soil data to inform your product selection strategy. It makes a lot of sense. Yep. Do you do anything on sort of on the flip side of things where you know you have people who are buying you in Costco, but you want them to be a digital customer? Or like how have you built that out to make that more of a, I hate to say it, omni-channel experience?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think it goes back to like people needing more help and support in the category, right? And them going outside and being like, this is confounding to me. I don't want to mess this up. You know, I'm trying to care for all this living stuff out here and I want to make sure I do a good job. And so we want to be able to offer that kind of support to all of our customers, right? And so we do that to some extent on retail customers as well. And they can, we have QR codes, things like that to drive those customers to be able to use our software and be able to know like, when's the next application? What else should I go buy at Lowe's and that sort of thing to help support them. But it is, it's an area of focus for us. So we'll keep on developing that.
All right. And how has, you know, you're in the major big box stores. Was that always the plan?
It was always a plan. So the plan here was really around impact and around changing a category. So the, again, this category is one of these behemoths is hiding in plain sight. It's about $50 billion spent on DIY lawn and garden. You know, that makes it just as big as like cosmetics in the US, for example. It's one of those massive categories. But when you walk in that part of the store, right, you smell it from 20 feet away.
Yeah.
It is legacy brands, legacy branding, and incredibly confusing and intimidating. And so it's just the kind of ratio between the market size and opportunity versus the amount of innovation and energy in the space is really, really off in our market. And so, you know, Sunday is aiming to become the next household name in the category, the one you trust.
And how, so, well, I know in 2021, you raised a Series C, is that correct? Or is it 20, was it?
2022 was a Series C.
2022. So like, when you get a Series C, that's when you're really trying to sort of take things to the next level.
Sure.
How has that manifested? Was that just on like getting into more stores, launching more products? How does that fit into this plan of yours?
Yeah, in many ways. So certainly that aided our expansion into retail and also just more expansion in direct to consumer, driving a larger customer base overall. But from a company standpoint, like, you know, you introduced us to Sunday Lawn Care, like we're Sunday Outdoor Home now.
Oh, I apologize.
So, you know, really we did start off with the American Lawn because it is, you know, kind of the perfect beachhead for us in the category. But we want to help people with everything outside their home. And so we've moved into all of those adjacent categories, things like garden and pest control, and expanded to bring our smarts to those other categories too.
Got it. And how do you ever fear, like, I feel like this is the tightrope that a lot of founders and companies walk of getting too outside or, you know, going too far afield. So how do you, you know, the outside is a big space. So how do you make sure that it is within the wheelhouse and you're not investing in something that won't pay dividends?
Yeah, that's a constant challenge. And there, you know, you're only right when you, in hindsight on that one, I think typically.
Yeah.
And I've also never been accused of being too focused. You know, I get really excited about all the things we can do. You look at these categories and A, how poisonous they are and B, how confusing they are and how people need. And it's hard to not go after them. You know, the guardrails we've set is outdoor home, nothing inside house. We really, to be an outdoor home platform that we want to be, you really need to be able to be across these categories. So, it's a challenging thing to find the right level of focus, but we've seen really great traction with our customers. And I think the nice thing about having such a large D2C base is still, you know, over 75% of our revenue as a business.
It still is over 75% of revenue with D2C?
Wow. Yes.
I just blurted over that, but yes, you understood what I said.
Yeah. 75% of revenue is direct consumer still. And both are growing rapidly. But we have that, you know, the relationship with those customers. Again, like our relationship with our customers is very different than a typical direct consumer business. We're not just selling them a good and saying, you know, enjoy that. Hope you do well. We're actually stewarding them through their entire process. So we have lots of two-way information from our customers to test in these new categories and get it right.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So you said pest control. What else are you in?
Garden. Yeah.
And so how would you, like, is it pretty much when you go into one of these new areas, you send an email to the people you know who have big yards and say, hey, we have this new product? Is that like, and like, I'm pretty much what I'm asking is, what is the repeat customer rate? Or have you, do you have like sort of divisions of customers that use one product but not the other?
Certainly that exists. You have different customer types, 100%. But before we make a thing, we talk to people about it. You know, my background is in a lot of it in design research and product design. Part of, you know, what I learned, I worked at a place called IDEO, which is really amazing design consultancy, I was lucky to be there, is this deep ethnographic research. So we talk to people about, how do you think about pests? Tell me what's going on. And you learn about them, the life they live, and really build an intuition for what they need, the kind of solution they need. So that's the step you take before we actually make the thing. We don't make the thing and say, how do you like it? We learn about the customer and learn about what their needs are and their values too. And so, you know, a big part of Sunday in all of these categories is being able to allow people to extend their values into their backyard. Right, I always thought it was kind of a mismatch that, I mean, we have a country that's kind of giving up on dairy milk. You know, there's 50 different natural options for dish soap, mm-hmm. But we're putting literal poison in our backyards, mm-hmm. And that's across all those categories. I mean, I won't go too deep into this, but it is unbelievably far off base the way we treat our property. So a typical house, a yard in the U.S. gets about 5 times for pesticides per acre compared to an industrial farm. So 5x in your own yard. And when they test people for all these compounds to bring our yard, because they're industrial pesticides, they're in all of our bodies. Like, it is something that is so mismatched from where our values are today that, it's pretty exciting to be able to offer a good alternative.
This is a question I ask a lot of companies.
Sure.
Who are talking about things in terms of not the health value, but there's something bad and you should be doing something good. And like, do you actively market that? Do you say there are toxins in your garden and you're eating them, use Sunday and that won't happen?
We don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit challenging sometimes. Sometimes you really want to.
Yeah.
I think what we're offering instead is a no compromise solution, you know, and I think a lot of the people are waking up to this. I mean, we have a Roundup is the most popular product in the category. It's weed control. It has a $10 billion settlement right now. That's the third largest in consumer goods history, number one being Philip Morris.
Yeah.
And so, you know, awareness to what these compounds are and how poisonous they are is, I think, more and more commonplace. When I talk to people, this idea of kind of holding your breath in that aisle, everyone's like, oh yeah, of course, hold your breath in that aisle.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't be holding our breath. So we have a pretty good base of awareness out there that we can build off of, and then just talk about the benefits and talk about how you can still have a beautiful yard and an amazing garden and grow vegetables, all those sort of things you can still do as successfully as you did before, but with better.
So talk a little about, you know, if you, you know, you talked a little about how you're messaging your products. How are you finding the customers? Like, you know, I imagine wholesale plays a big role in that, where you're getting, you know, major visibility down there. But where are you finding most of your customers? Do you spend a lot of money on digital acquisition? How is it working?
Yep. Well, I'll start with the wholesale side of it and our retail partners. I think first off, you know, I spent, prior to starting Sunday, my wife and I started a brand called Quinn Snacks. It's a CPG food brand you'll find in pretty much every store in the country, mm-hmm. at this point, but that was built brick by brick. And really my exposure to agriculture and working with our farmers in that business is what led to Sunday. So that's where all of that came from. Now, because Quinn was started brick by brick, we were really just hoping for 2 slots on the shelf, you know, early days, just like, kind of give us a spot on the shelf, please. But what we found with Sunday is the ability to have retailers that are real partners and give us like a good presence in store and promote the brand and make it so that we do actually drive some awareness around it and start build some of that brand momentum. So, you know, amazing retail partners that are behind the brand and behind the mission, that's been fantastic. And that certainly drives a lot of awareness. The other thing to think about, and it's probably relevant to a lot of your audience too, is that retail drives credibility, mm-hmm. right? If I'm on store and on shelf in Lowe's, that says something about the efficacy of the product and you know, the presence of the brand and the validity of all of it. So that's been a key component. On the digital side, yeah, we do spend on marketing. We certainly do drive awareness pretty heavily. The positive of our solution approach is that we have high customer lifetime values, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're helping them do something they couldn't do otherwise, and they stick with us for a long time. So that really high customer lifetime value enables us to have the ability to spend more and be able to drive more brand awareness.
I want to ask about that first thing, because I feel like it makes a lot of sense. You know, if you want to have retailers who are behind you and you want to be, you know, shown widely and explained well. How do you do that? Like, I feel like I've talked with a lot of CEOs who have said, like, it was because we had this end cap in Target and they believed in our mission. But like, did you show digital sales velocity? What, like, do you have any tips for how it is that you can actually get a buyer or merchandiser to say, like, okay, we will give you the marketing you deserve for this aisle?
Yeah. Well, I think I'll get into some detail, but the first thing I'll say is you do have to say no sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's really, really hard in the moment, especially when you need to grow and you're on that trajectory. But that's important, and that's a requirement. And then on the other side of that, these are people. The buyer is a person who has their own values, their own things they want to accomplish in the world. And so it's a personal connection is really, really important there. And so yes, being able to show sales data and traction, and it's a no-brainer, drive more consumption through these slots than the competitor will. Like, yeah, there's those things, but when we were starting out, we didn't have any of that. We had no data, right? And so it was really, I had to give credit to the buyers to be able to say, I see this, I believe in this, I want to be a part of it. And having that personal relationship with that person is what enables us to have a better presence in that store and find success too. I mean, I think deep down, they also understand that if you're two slots on the bottom shelf, like you might as well just not do it. Mm-hmm. That's no way to launch a brand. It's really just not going to work.
Can you talk a little bit about the customer research side of things? You said you came from IDEO. Sure. So what is this all post purchase survey data? Like how are you doing this so that you're able to get actual good data about what you should do next?
Yeah, it's amazing. I will say a few years in now, this year is the first year I can say we have really, really solid data.
Okay.
And so deep quantitative data on our customers' behaviors and actions and preferences. And so we have that view now, which is really fantastic. But prior to that, and I think it was always a good compliment to that, and maybe, for me, to be honest, it actually is the lead, is more around really talking to people and getting deep intuition around your customer. And so, you have the quantitative data, it's just, 17% of people choose this over that. That's really helpful. But if you look at our purchase experience, it's an experience that's designed around creating an emotional response. It's not all about product attributes. It's not all about discounting. This is a solution that will meet your needs and getting the person to feel like I can do this and it's going to work. It's a whole journey, right? And so that comes through really knowing our customers, talking to them regularly, and just having a deep intuition for what their needs are.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I'll switch gears a little bit just because we've been talking for a bit, but we're at Shop Talk. I feel like we have to talk about it a little bit, but why are you here? Like what is an event like this do to you?
Well, I'm here to give a talk, for one thing.
All right, what are you talking about?
we're talking about customer loyalty
and
loyalty programs. So we're gonna share a little bit about that. And, the take that we'll have at that talk will be different than I think the other speakers will have. And for us, it's really around, I'm going back to kind of beating a dead horse here a little bit, but being a solution for our customers, right? It isn't about you get more credits or a better discount if you come back. It's like we're going to actually help you every step of the way. And that's what drives loyalty at Sunday. And that's why we have retention that is, I think probably the best consumer goods retention there is. And up there near Netflix and things like that. So that ability to drive a relationship with a customer and then, actually help them all the way through the experience. So that's, are we talking about that? Are we talking about that, how that drives loyalty?
How have you, what do you think makes your loyalty so good? Is it specifically the tech stack? Is it the nature of the products? And actually I'm going to ask a million questions because I meant to ask this earlier.
Sure, sure.
One of the things we talk about with loyalty, especially with brands like yours, is that you have a subscription plan. And so you have people who are going to be getting this, ideally until they sell their home and maybe when they get their next home. Sure. But there are different cadences for these products. So how do you figure that out so that it works? Sorry, I just threw a bunch of questions your way.
Well, we'll start with the cadence one is fairly complex for us. And that's part of the reason why we have a really deep technical know-how is to support this. We're seasonal, for one thing. And then each of our customers is living in a different season, and each of our customers is also experiencing different weather. So all these things sort of drive our cadence and how we operate our business. So there's a lot of complexity there. And then we have a long gap, for a lot of the country going through the entire winter, this is not a category they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And so we have to maintain the relationship with the customer and maintain the subscription through that gap. So that was a lot of things that, back when we talked in 2020, the question was, will that work?
And
we've shown now that it does work. But then to your other question of why are they loyal?
Earlier, how have you built, I feel like loyalty is the one thing that every company wants. And I think, having a product that people get regularly and expected is one way, but have you found that there's a digital experience component? What are the components that have worked for you?
100%. So this is, again, it's around selling a solution more than a product. And if they want our product, they can go to their local store and buy it.
Yeah.
The reason why D2C is still a lion's share of revenue is because we are able to offer a different experience there. That's a full solution. I think early days of consumer subscription companies online, a lot of it was kind of like, well, you can skip a trip to the store.
Yeah.
Well, that's not, that's just not enough to drive loyalty. That's not enough to carry the weight of a subscription, because that's asking a lot from a person. And so, you know, for us, it's really enabling them with that full-time support to the whole experience. And that doesn't mean like, oh, they can call customer service and talk to a real person who knows tons about lawns. Like, that's true. And that's a really important part of it. But in addition to that, we're telling them exactly what to do, when to do it. We're responsive to the conditions in their area. Like, we are... You know, the idea of Sunday back in 2020, which we're still working toward becoming, is if you have a neighbor who knows all about this stuff and they lean over the fence the right time, they go, hey, just so you know, it's going to frost on Thursday, so you want to cover that up and you want to do this, and they just help you be an expert in this mm-hmm. category. That's what Sunday is trying to do for our customers.
Got it. So we're now in March, you know, it's 2024. The last few years have been weird, or we can say like probably the entirety of your company, we could call like weird things that have happened, you know?
Sure. It's been a ride.
Yeah. But what, like, A, how is 2023 for you in terms of, you know, like sales growth, and what are your focuses for 2024 right now?
Yeah. I mean, we're still brand new, right? In our category, there's been nothing new in half a century. Like, no joke. Mm-hmm. 50 years of the same, essentially. And so, you know, we're growing every year, expanding quickly, growing our customer base. It's been a really exciting ride, but we're learning so fast. And as I said, like moving into multi-category, moving into garden and pest control is a bigger move for us to be able to continue to expand on those. You know, our retail partners have only been on shelf for a few years, so we're continually getting better at that and supporting them better and just creating better experiences there. So, man, I wish I could say there's one or two things we're working on. We're working on all of it.
Yeah. Should we expect more product expansion into new categories?
I think our product portfolio is pretty expansive right now. I mean, it's in a good spot. If you want to care for something outside your home, chances are we have something for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what that would be if you have garden, you know, pest control.
I mean, there's some more fringe things, but you know, one of the interesting things about Sunday, again, you start a company, you don't really know all the complexities you're going to face, and if you did, you probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
In our category, we have to register every single product in every single state, and so it's incredibly difficult to launch new products. And these are independent registrations with people looking at it and saying yes or no.
Do you do only national rollouts, or do you start state by state?
We do almost entirely national. We have over 5,000 active registrations. And so this is one of the reasons why no one's ever innovated this quickly in this category. But we had to get really good at that. And so that's one of those unexpected requirements in this category that we're like, okay, if we're not experts at this, you know, we don't have a chance. We got to be good at it. So we learned how.
Should we expect to hear more wholesale? Like, I feel like you're in the stores that I would think about. Maybe there are a few, but
sure.
Like, what are we going to see on that front?
I think you're gonna see greater depth in the stores we're in today, and you know, potentially some new doors too that we'll see.
Yeah,
you know, some things that are always in the works there. But you know, that continues to grow. Our presence of Sunday in garden in those stores is a brand new thing that's starting to happen this year. It's really exciting for us. So those kind of additional categories getting to shelf. Yeah, so a lot of growth happened there too.
One thing I wanted to ask, and I should have asked this earlier, but like, I, growing up, you know, my mother would always go to a garden store that was like more of a mom and pop store. Sure. So like, how do you guys do that? How do you do that? That is a very difficult thing to do.
It is something we haven't grown into yet. So like the traditional nurseries is like,
yeah.
Is really the bedrock of a lot of lawn and garden, especially when you're buying live goods.
Yeah.
So that's an area that would be new for us. We haven't expanded into that yet.
How would you do that if you wanted to go about that? Cause that's very like, you know, want like just sort of. There isn't one specific area that then you can expand to entirely.
Yeah, and I think the reason why we haven't is part of the how do you do it well. I mean, I still think you do things well with a relationship, right? And these are independent accounts, independent stores. And so you could sell to a distributor who would then start putting you on shelf in those stores, but you'd have very loose control of how that would happen. You wouldn't know the people doing it. And if they're not behind the product, you know, it doesn't work as well. So I think we need to learn how to do that, maintain those relationships at scale in order to expand in that way.
Got it. Well, I'll end with one last question just because we're coming up to close to time. But, you know, you're a really fascinating company because you're considered DTC. You know, 3/4 of your revenue, it sounds like, comes from that. But you've also sort of bucked the trend, it seems like, where a lot of DTC companies were, you know, were doing really well and then weren't able to get over this hump. So like, what do you think is going to happen in the next few years for digitally native companies? And what are the things, like, what are the lessons that you've learned so that you were able to sort of overcome these issues? Is it just about having the right product that speaks to the right customer, or are there other things at play here?
Yeah, it's been so tumultuous in e-commerce, and it's going to continue.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to keep getting thrown end over end a little bit and be quite a ride for everybody whose company has the majority of the revenue in D2C. You know, the reason why Sunday was able to weather those storms and grow every single year through pandemic and post-pandemic is because of our kind of unique proposition with our customer. It's really not about selling a thing. I think if you're in e-com and you're trying to sell a thing to a person, I just don't think it works anymore. I don't think that's a viable business model. And so this is about an ongoing relationship with our customers and helping them through their entire journey with a part of their life. Like, you know, what Sunday aims to be is like, when I think about this part of my life, this is the company that's the solution for that. This is where I go for those things because they help me do it better. And that kind of customer relationship, you know, it's good for the end user, but from a business perspective also drives, much higher LTV and makes the business function. Yeah. So I think one thing I'll add, I know we're getting close to time here, is that I think it feels like, well, that's really applicable to your category, but probably not applicable to my category. And I totally disagree.
Okay.
And I think, I mean, if you're getting you've got a new puppy, right? How many dollars is that person going to spend on that puppy through their lifetime?
Yeah.
And how deep is that emotional bond? How important is that? Like, if they can get help through that entire experience and have someone guide them through that whole journey and be a real ally through that, that's incredibly valuable to that customer and then also to the business who's able to provide that service. It's really hard to do. That's the challenge. But if you sit down and think about the journey your customer goes through, I think there's it's never a single point in time. It's always part of a longer journey and a big part of their identity. And I think, you know, companies need to figure out how to be more meaningful to those people.
Got it. Well, Coulter, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for joining.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Kel.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Modern Retail Podcast, a show by Digiday. If you haven't already, please do subscribe and head to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review and a rating. See you next week.